Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Get your Bibles with you. I want you to open the book of Ephesians this morning. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you love the Word of God? You know, if you're in love with Jesus, you're in love with His Word. If you're in love with Jesus, you're in love with His Word. Hallelujah, you're awake. That's what I like. Hallelujah. I really, really want to encourage us all this morning about the message I spoke last week. That, you know, the glory that God put in His Son Jesus was made available to us as born again believers. You are instruments, you are containers of God's glory yourself. Have you stopped and meditated on that at all this week? That you contain God's glory within you. And you know what I love about being a container of anything that's of God? That it's transferable. That whatever God has given me is not just for me. It's for me to include and to impart into others. Amen? And I really believe, friends, we are in a time, we are in a season from now until Jesus returns where we have to understand that His presence, His glory, His anointing, His authority in our lives is such a crucial part of our living. A crucial part of our living. You know that? Come with me, as I said, to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to just read verse 1. I feel like the Apostle Paul is speaking to us as a church this morning. I really felt the other day like he himself had tapped me on the shoulder and said, Lou, I want you to start working through my letters to the church in Ephesus. I feel like I'm echoing his words this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you, these are strong words, to walk. The Amplified says, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called. Appeal to and beg you to walk, that is, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called. The Amplified then goes on and says, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. With behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. The New Living Translation puts it this way, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. If I was to say amen, that's the end of my sermon this morning, I think you've got enough meat in the sandwich to go home for at least a week and meditate on that. Paul himself has been captured by the very love of God, drawing him closer and closer to walk with Him. And now he's saying to the church, and he's saying to us today, I beg you. Wow. Great Apostle Paul begging the church to live a life worthy of your calling. You know, lately I spend a lot of time with Christians, leaders, and just followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who come to me and ask questions, and quite often they'll say things like, I've lost my vision, I seem to have lost my purpose. I'm out of focus with my calling on life. These sort of words are the words that I hear people say regularly. And I stopped to ponder that the other day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, how often do I, and I ask the question to you today, how often do we sit down with the Lord and recalibrate, A, what our calling is, and are we on track with our calling? Pretty important questions, I believe. So this morning I want to just run through a few things with you. But if you today feel like you've been on a detour, if you feel like you haven't been able to get through stumbling blocks, I want to ask you a question. And this was a question that God asked Adam. Simply three words. Where are you? Got your Bibles open to the book of Genesis, chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. Reading verses 8 and 9. We kicked off last week's sermon out of Genesis, and there's so much in Genesis that we can go to. So much meat, so much depth, so much insight into who God is and how He operates. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Where are you? Just imagine Almighty God walking through the garden, really, and asking Adam, asking Eve, "Where are you?" Did He really ask the question to locate where Adam was? Or more likely a challenge, where Adam was at? He's God. He knows everything about everyone. And He comes down like every other day in the book of Genesis to walk in the cool of the evening with Adam. And He knows Adam has succumbed to sin. He knows that Adam and Eve have succumbed to temptation. And they're hiding. They're naked. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They're hurt. They don't know how to face God. Have you ever been like that? God says, "Where are you? I'm coming to talk with you." Friends, today, if you need to regain your vision, if you need some insight in order for you to run the race that God has called you to do, you and I must receive that question this morning from God. Are you with me? It's a relevant, real question. An honest answer this morning might be, well, I am a little bit off track. I am spending my energy, my time in places I shouldn't. I'm in that point of just getting through. I'm in that point of just surviving rather than thriving. I've let go of my calling. I've let go of my destiny because I just don't seem to have that drive anymore. And it reminded me many years ago, I was in a park just out of Sydney called Stanley Park. It's well renowned for its great shore break surf and amazing rips. And because I'd only swum and surfed South Australian waters, it was a little bit foreign to me. I was in awe at the size of the waves and having a great time, when suddenly I realized I'd been caught by the famous Stanley Park Rip and I was being taken out. 15 years of age, sun starting to go down, most of the swimmers out of the water. As you see on TV, the lifesavers were already packed up. And I focused my eyes on a rock, which seemed to be getting further and further away, even though I was trying to swim back into where I should have been. The ability to survive quite often kicks in when you're in strife like that, and I believe it was God with his hand upon me at the time. This wave came through and I said, if I catch this wave, I can get through this rip, I can get back to shore before it gets any later. And darkness does set in because I'll just keep going out. So as this wave came in, now I didn't have a surfboard, it was just a body surfing day. I swam as fast as I could, as hard as I could, and I was able to catch that wave to get me outside of that rip, and I was able to make it back to shore. I could just picture my friends standing on the shore if I hadn't returned, yelling out, Lou, where are you? God echoes that call across us today. You see, when Adam lost everything, the question of his location was what was heard. So what had Adam lost? Didn't have any clothes to lose. Didn't have a mortgage on his property, so they couldn't take his property. Didn't have a car, so his car hadn't been misplaced or put in the wrong car park that he couldn't remember where it was. Everything in the garden was available to him, so it's not like he lost his lunchbox or his snack pack or whatever. If you come back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 28, you realize the enormity of what Adam had lost and why he hid from God, embarrassed and hurt and in pain. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created him. Now I want you to pause on that point, semicolon in your Bible. Mankind was created in the image of God himself. That in itself just holds me in awe. God had finished creating every animal, every fish, every bird, every creature on planet Earth, and he knows that there's something missing. And God knew before time that he'd have to get to this stage, but he's a construction engineer. He's starting to put stuff together and he's nearing the end of the project and he goes, now I'm ready. It's like putting the first nut on last and wondering why you've got nuts and bolts left over afterwards. It's like trying to put a DVD into your computer without turning it on. Like buying a new car and forgetting to pick up the key before you drive it out of the parking lot. It's the one thing that God needs to finish his creation, and it's so amazing that he makes mankind in his own image. Wow. You ever thought about the wow factor of that in itself? But it doesn't stop there. The Bible goes on. Male and female, he created them. Then he blessed them. Wow. Created in his own image and then just drop kicked them forward and said, make your own way. Off you go. Bible says, and then he blessed them. Made in his image, blessed by God himself, created as male and female, And then God says to them, what? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That, my friends, is the original intent of God. Amen? What an amazing God. And Adam blows it by misbehavior, by wrong thinking, by self-thinking, by self-promoting, by thinking outside of what God has amazingly put it within his hands, within his grasp. We talked last week about the glory and the honor that God put within mankind. We read out of Psalm 8, verses 4 and 6. Let me refresh you. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. Yet you gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority. That, to me, friends, sums up God's creative nature, but his ability to transfer who he is into those he loves. You're loved of God. You know that this morning? So the plan of God then was to send a man, the Son of God, to get his plan back on track. We read out of John chapter 1 this morning that John the Baptizer came pre-Jesus to announce the coming of Jesus. But somewhere along the way, religion got in, man's own purpose got in, and things got in the way, and you know, the busyness of life and the wars and the battles and the ability to grow and produce, and all this was let go, and man, rather than get back on track, got further off track. As you read the Old Testament, as man tries to get back what Adam let go, man in his own strength and his own ability and own anointing can only get a certain way, and then he falls flat on his face for whatever the reason. And it takes around about 4,000 years to outwork the Word of God made flesh and to redeem the plan for the children of God. As I said earlier today, God's plan is not for God's sake, it's for the world's sake. Amen? God's plan was to redeem the man back to himself. God gets the glory, God gets the praise, but man has included that according to what we read in Genesis and again in Psalm chapter 8, that God actually crowns his creation with glory and with honor. And for the last just over 2,000 years, man has been walking in this redemption plan. And yet so many have never fulfilled all that God purchased for us through the death of his son Jesus and all that God has planned for them and for us. Are you with me? None of us in this room, I believe, are walking anywhere near in the fullness that God has sent his son to die and to come to life again for us. So let's go to John chapter 17. Jesus speaks to us. Book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. Here's the heart of God coming through his son Jesus, not for Jesus' sake, again, but for our sake. Jesus praying for the disciples, not just the current disciples, but for disciples to come That's you and I. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, and I in me, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. That the glory that God gave the Son, as part of that benefit of being carriers of the glory, is that we would be one, just like the Father and the Son, and the Spirit, of course, are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, in this current age, how many know that Christians aren't exactly the most loved group on earth? More and more antagonism, more and more anti-Christian stuff coming through, more and more poo-hooing and cursing and strife directed not towards the Muslims, not towards the Buddhists, not before the Taoists, but towards Christians. Wow. But God sends his Son Jesus to redeem us from the curse, fill us with his Holy Spirit, and allow us to be led by his Spirit in our day-to-day walk. Now, our day-to-day walk should have had on the end of that our day-to-day walk with him. But how many know that the distractions of life sometimes cause us to go on a different path some days, almost like it's without him? Whoopsie. Shouldn't have said that. Oh, really? Did I do that, God? He's promised. Jesus has promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So though we're walking a walk that perhaps is a little bit off track, maybe a major bit off track, Jesus said, I'm there with you always. Let's flick over to Hebrews chapter 2 now. A few other scriptures to get through. Then I'll bring it back to that question. Where are you? Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 and 11. Reading from the New Living Translation. What we do see is Jesus, who has given us a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. You and I, as children of God, have been brought into glory. Did that capture your attention? That you've been brought into glory? To get into glory, you've got to get out of something. I'm going to go a little bit further. To get into glory, something's got to be left behind. We read in John chapter 1 that darkness cannot overcome the work of light. It wars against light. Darkness is darkness, light is light. Light invades darkness, darkness does not invade light. Scripture goes on, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. There's a connection there. Children of God have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. So let me go on with this. Taking notes this morning, dot point number two, what the world is waiting for. Some would say we're just waiting for you Christians to go. Just waiting for the churches to all shut down. We're just waiting for the Muslims to come in and cut off all the heads of the Christians. We love them too. God loves them. But friends, today I want to make this comment that it's not only important for you and I to walk in the fullness of what we've been called to, but it's equally important for that to manifest to fulfillment what we are called to do. The whole world, whether you realize it or not, is waiting for us to fulfill our calling. Just said, many would say, no, Christians. All right, what does the word say about it? Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 19. Romans 8. 16 to 19. And it says, the Spirit Himself. Anyone ask you about Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is a person, He's not a thing. Bring John 15. Jesus talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit. Here again in Romans, Paul's got the revelation that the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a he. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The same glory that's on Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing, is now upon us and within us. We are glorified with Him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time, this is Paul writing to the church in Rome, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let that sink in. For I consider, Paul, the great apostle Paul, that the sufferings of this present time, hello? Present time? 2017? Oh, you're not a Christian, are you? Yes, I am. One of those born again ones? Yes, I am. Tongue talking, spirit led? Yes, sir. Really? Absolutely. Sufferings? We don't understand what sufferings are, really. Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, you may not realize this, but in my left pocket now, I have something amazing that will just change your lives forever. Every one of you here, just, ah. But I'm not going to show you. But get over it. And for the rest of my message, you're going to say, so what's in his left pocket? God didn't hide things from us. He hid things for us to discover. And the world, whether you know it or not, is waiting for the glory of the Lord that is in us to be revealed to them. Are you ready? Not that important. My next point. Plenty of phone. But until you knew what it was, it could have been a gold bar. Could have been a lump of lead like Chris Clapp brought in one night. God wants His glory that's in us to be revealed. Amen? Verse 29 of Romans 8. For whom He foreknew, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before you were knit together in your mother's womb, He knew you. So He already foreknew you. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Hello, church? He knew you. He predestined you to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. To be renewed from your old self, that dark, horrible, sin-filled, God-hating person that you were. You weren't in Christ, you were against Christ. Conforming you in that born-again believer's statement of faith, when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, going from the old self to the new self. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus died, came back from the dead, was allowed to be witnessed by mankind, went home to be with the Father, so that He could send Holy Spirit to us to fill us and to regenerate us into a glorious new birth. Can I have an amen? And then, I love God. Always get so much. And then to immerse us in His power to walk out the commission that He's got on our lives. I've got a friend that's just started a new job in sales. He's selling solar panels in shopping centres. How many of you love salespersons stopping you in shopping centres? Hi, I represent Joe Bloggs Building Company. Would you like a brochure? Hi there, sir. How's your day been? Oh, you're a salesman. How's my style? God's plan that He would empower us, He would equip us, He would enable us, He would make the opportunity for us to fulfill the commission. Let me go back to the original commission before you get all humpy about what Jesus said in Matthew. The original commission that God gave to Adam was what? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. God's plan for man was not to go out and make disciples. God's plan through His Son Jesus was to bring us back into that glorious, honorable state where we do have that dominion, where we do have that subduing authority, where we do have that fruitfulness and that multiplication. There you go. That one. The ability to multiply. The ability to fill the earth. That was the original commission. Jesus has now taken back that original commission that Adam let go, that the enemy, the devil himself, so deftly employs day in, day out. And now, friends, all authority has been given to Jesus and all his seed. You're the seed of Jesus? I am. All of the new creation has been given to us with authority, with power, to walk as Jesus walked, and to bring every lost child, every lost person into a new life relationship also. We have the ability to do it. We have the authority to do it. We have the very power of God Himself through the Holy Spirit in us to bring lost into found, to bring off track into back on track, to bring the sick back into health. Amen? All those things that Jesus did as His commission on earth has been transferred now to our commission. Amen? And in case you've forgotten, it's called the Great Commission. Comes out of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you." How long? Always, even unto the end of the age. And then he says, "Amen. So be it." The authority that was reclaimed by Jesus, that Adam had let go, was transferred to Jesus and then transferred into every born again believer. So let me go back to where we began. That when that question comes, "Where are you?" The good news this morning, you like good news? For every believer in Christ is an answer that we can give that Adam could not. When the question comes to you, "Where are you?" your answer is simply this: "I am in Christ." Whew! That took me 32 minutes to get to that. Where are you today? "I am in Christ." Are you? One of us, two of us. The question that God asked Adam is simple, and yet it's equally complex. Let me tease this back a bit. It says in the first part, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. The Hebrew word for the sound is the word gol, G-O-L, meaning to call aloud, the thunder, we had a bit of that earlier, to cry out, to yell, or in a bleating, like goats do. So God was not really just walking through the garden saying, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" The Bible says he was calling aloud. I like that terminology, that the gol word means to thunder. Can you imagine the sound of God's voice like thunder? "Adam!" Sorry about that. "Adam! Adam! Where are you?" That probably just sent the meter on the laptop through the roof. But got to hear that God was not just merely politely calling to Adam. He was concerned that what Adam had done had brought Adam to a place that caused him to hide from God. The Bible says that they heard the voice of God walking. The sound is the voice of God walking. So friends, how do you hear a voice walking? The Hebrew word for walking is the Hebrew word halak, H-A-L-A-K. It simply doesn't mean to walk with steps like we understand it. It's to do with the walk, or the way of a Torah life, halakha. You see, the word, according to Judaism, has a way about it. It has a walk about it. So they heard the way of God in his voice. They heard the way of God in his voice. God came to them in the cool of the evening, which is both the end of the day for us, but the beginning of the new day for the Jews. A refreshing, a time of cooling, but also a beginning of something about to unfold for tomorrow. So when you and I are looking for our walk, our halak, friends, we need to find it in our fellowship with God. Our walk, first of all, needs to be found in our fellowship with God. We can quite often too easily try and fit God in with what else is going on in our lives. Can I say, in this day and age, we need to reverse that? Amen for all of us. The first question that God did not ask Adam was, Adam, what are you doing? It was, where are you? So to live out our walk, we have to first be in him in order that we can do for him. Did you get that? To live out our walk, we have to first be in him so that we can do for him. So to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill the vision that God has given every one of us here today, it first must come from being in him and with him. I'll illustrate with this last scripture and then I'm finished. Mark chapter 3. Book of Mark chapter 3. Verses 13 to 16. I'm reading from the Amplified this time, so hang on to your hats. It's going to take 10 minutes. No, it won't. Mark chapter 3, 13 to 16, reading from the Amplified. And he went up on the hillside and called those whom he himself wanted and chose. And they came to him. Watch it. He went up on the hillside and he called those whom he himself wanted and chose, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 disciples that they would be with him, the Amplified says, for instruction, and so that he could send them out to preach the gospel as apostles, that is, as his special messengers, personally chosen representatives, and to have authority and to cast out demons. Notice there's a pattern here. Jesus called to himself those. Number two, they came to him. Number three, he appointed them. Number four, to continue to be with him. Number five, that he might send them. Notice the pattern. He called them to him. There was a consecration. Then he called them from him. That was his commission for them to go. If God is not the primary part of your day, then the call to you is only going to come from within you, not from Him. We first have to be called to Him for Him to enable us to do what He's called us to do. Amen? Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God will always lead to a constant refreshing and a fulfillment of service to Him and for Him. A lack of relationship with the Father will reveal symptoms and attitudes about your service to Him and for Him. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, that is, of His own accord, unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, the Son in His turn also does it the same way, the Amplified says. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, of His own accord, unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son in His turn also does in the same way. God asked Adam the question, where are you? God is asking the same question to us all here today. Where are you?